Hi, everyone. This is Special K, Kevin Latchfray of the Black Flag Cast. And tonight I am talking with the one and only Charles Dunbar. Most of you know him from his various panels at a multitude of conventions around the nation, as well as one of the chief scholars in the documentary, the recent documentary, In the Name of the Moon. Charles, how are you doing tonight?
Hello. I think the light just went out in where I'm sitting.
Oh, no. Well, would you like to begin in the dark telling my audience a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. I am a performer, storyteller, cultural anthropologist, and cultural observer who spends the majority of his time when he's not sitting watching Netflix talking about anime, Japanese culture, fandom, and pretty much whatever else I feel contributes to an honest discourse and dialogue about the impact of media in our lives.
Indeed so. And why specifically cultural anthropology? It seems it's a very major thrust discipline-wise of your work. Why that particular one?
It was available at the time. You know, the joke about anthro I had is I went to college as a religion major, and midway through, I think my third or fourth semester, I was taking a lot of these courses in the religion department that were all taught by anthropology professors, and I saw a lot of synergy between religious studies and anthro, and I decided just to take the plunge, declare a double major, and just focus on a passion of mine, which was always understanding how we create and construe sacred culture and how sacred culture impacts our lives, both culturally as a civilization and individually as a person. And it kind of just went from there. I mean, the school that I went to Hunter in New York, was a four-field anthropology school. So I had a lot of exposure to archaeology and linguistics and archaeology, and it was probably the most fascinating course of study I could take. And it kind of just stuck as opposed to anything else. The classes were so satisfying that I just kept going and going and going and going and going. And it led to who I am today.
And what that led to in many regards was fortunately, unfortunately, or however, you know, one would view it, folks out there, to your grand work, Pilgrimage, Pageantry, and Fan Communities. What was that?
God, I hate that thing. It was my thesis. It was my master's thesis that took me two years to research, because I was one of those guys who I could have done a library thesis. Almost every one of my programs is doing a library thesis, and I was trying something new. I went through the entire grad school process without any direction. I just viewed it as an extension of my undergraduate study. And then one day I'm coming back from an anime convention and I'm really like yelling about it. And one of my friends asked me, if you like anime so much, why don't you just study it in college? And I couldn't come up with a reason why not. I went to my department and asked them if they would greenlight a project that explored anime conventions and convention culture and some of this ideas, like the old ideas, like I've sort of described ethnicity and communal practice. And I read a lot of Victor Turner, and he wrote about the community aspect of the pilgrimage. And I read a lot of Clifford Geertz and Emil Durkheim, and they did much the same. And it all came down to the first line of my proposal. I wrote this like 12-page proposal for my department was, I'm not Japanese, but I pretend to be on the weekends. And it got the head of the department laughing, and he just gave me the green light to do it. And I spent 2 years doing the convention thing, like 2009 was surveys, but at the time I was really shy and I didn't want to ask people to do it. 2010, I started doing panels because it was fun, and it took me 2 years to research, an additional 6 months to write the damn thing. And I hated publishing it, but they forced me to. And after that, it kind of just – my entire life is just a bunch of bizarre, odd coincidences. And Pilgrimage, Pageantry, and Fan Communities was a giant sequence of odd coincidences that just kind of fell together. And ever since then, it was my – first major contribution to anime fandom and to, like, my community. And it laid the background for a lot of the stuff I would do later. And now I look upon it as a relic of a 27, 28-year-old graduate student who really needed a lot of guidance in grad school, but managed to cobble together something that must have worked because people can, to this day, continue to request it and continue to request copies of that and some of the other stuff.
And, I mean, from that, I mean, do you think that you have maybe blazed a trail for those who might come beyond it, who might study this, you know, this rather, I mean, in the public's mind, a recent phenomenon of the convention craze?
I mean, I already have. There's at least three doctoral dissertations that cited it, one from a Polish graduate student. And I know of at least three that cited it. I mail out tons of copies of it to people. And if someone wants to take the field work I did and run around with it, by all means, go run. It's led to a lot of interesting conversations that I've had. And a lot of it came to a head in 2013 Otakon when I was it was myself, Daryl Surratt, and Doug Wilder from AnimeCons TV did a giant Friday morning lecture on the evolution of the AnimeCon that to this day people still tell me about. And it was very validating at that point to see it.
Awesome. But of course this intellectual discussion began with a hobby of yours and a great interest of yours. So first of all, before we all became fans, we had to like something. What brought you to two of your favorite interests being anime and video games?
I got my Nintendo for Christmas in 1988, and that was the beginning of a long, frustrating journey through the video game market that allowed me to just have some fun with it. The first video game I ever played was the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I actually opened before the Nintendo. I don't know why, but my parents handed me a Nintendo game before I opened the Nintendo system, so it kind of defeated the purpose of the surprise. But back then, Nintendo was a giant novelty, one that everyone in my neighborhood had either a Nintendo or a Sega, and it was this huge novelty, and we would swap games, and we'd talk about games, and we'd play games, and that was a big part of my life in elementary school. And through junior high, I didn't play a lot of video games in high school because I didn't have a television in my bedroom and I didn't have a PlayStation and I didn't have any of that. Around the time high school rolled around, I was playing Magic the Gathering, and one of my friends sat me down and says, you need to play this card game called Anime Mayhem. And it was a Dragon Ball expansion to this anime card game. And from there, I kind of got into Dragon Ball Z. And I spent a large amount of money on both the cards and the VHS tapes. And everything kind of collided in college. Actually, I can pinpoint it. It was I spent a semester in Ireland. And right before I left to go to Ireland, I bought a Gundam Wing VHS and Princess Mononoke on VHS. And they were sitting at home waiting for me to come back. I left to go to Ireland for a while with a computer and Final Fantasy VII on the computer. The copy was glitched, and I couldn't play it past a certain point. I come back from Ireland. The first thing I do is go to the store, buy a PlayStation, buy Final Fantasy VII, spend the next 2 weeks of my life playing Final Fantasy VII, and alternating it with watching episodes of Gundam Wing. And the moment school started, this was, oh God, the fall 2000 semester. The moment fall 2000 semester started, I made some new friends who were big anime nerds. And the next thing that happened was I was spending every single Saturday either playing Final Fantasy or watching Gundam Wing and Dragon Ball with my friends. And it turned into a snowball effect. One of the friends that I met, this guy Jose, who I am still friends with to this day, it gave me Rurouni Kenshin. He gave me Berserk. He gave me Slayers. All of these shows. And I spent the next 2 years of my life alternating between lots and lots of PlayStation and lots of Final Fantasy, lots of anime. And it kind of was this gigantic alternating dual massive snowball until I got a job working for Sony Records, at which point I put away the anime and the games. And then they came back, like, in full force after Anime Boston 2007, when I discovered Full Metal Alchemist through the AMV competition. And that is the current fandom binge that I've been on. It's been a lot of anime since then, interspersed with Doctor Who and Star Wars and a bunch of the old stuff. But, like, just in terms of anime and games, it was, like, the Dragon Ball Final Fantasy era and then the Full Metal Alchemist punching me in the face with great shows to the current age.
Well, on that subject, I mean, what do you think about, you know, the cross-cultural phenomenon that is anime, and to a lesser extent, or as it is